Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Department of Entomology here at Car Talk Plaza. You know that?
Yeah, this was
you
actually...
Know that?
This was sent in by a listener named Arby. That's the only name we have.
Oh, wow. Well,
and his timing couldn't have been better because, as you know, today marks the return of the puzzler. And you'll see why this is apropos, the particular things he chose.
Really? Really? I'm sure this...
Here's what Arby says.
Something deep.
It is. Please see the attached definitions. They come from the online compendium of hacker slang. First definition. Bogosity. You got it? you see the appropriateness now.
Yeah, I'm beginning to see it.
The degree to which something is bogus. Definition number two, bogon. The elementary particle of bogosity. For instance, the Ethernet is emitting bogons again, means that it is broken or acting in an erratic or bogus fashion. Alternate, a person who is bogus or who says bogus things.
Is that like a Klingon?
Okay. Definition number three. These are all related, of course. Quantum bogodynamics. A theory that characterizes the universe in terms of bogon sources, such as politicians, used car salesmen, TV evangelists, and radio show hosts.
I was afraid that would be in there.
And here's a few other bogus-derived terms. Ambiguous, which means having multiple bogus interpretations. Bogotissimo, in a gloriously bogus manner.
I can see a conductor now. talking to. That was bogotissimo.
Bogophile, one who is pathologically fascinated by the bogus.
Yes.
Paleobogology, the study of primeval bogosity.
So you would be considered a bogographer, right? Is that right?
Yeah, and you would be a bogophile.
Oh, God. Well, I guess it's apropos to the return of the puzzler.
It is.
We shall see, but if you want some bogus answers to your car questions, you know where to find us. It's hard for us to hide. Our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, Tom and Ray, this is Kurt from Raleigh, North Carolina.
Kurt?
Kurt, yes.
How you doing, man?
With an I or you?
You, K-U-R-T. I've got a 1999 Ford Crown Victoria, and the air conditioner's starting to go on me a little bit. And I'm going to do-it-yourselfer, and I was going to recharge it, and it's 134A. And I went up to Walmart, and I'm looking at all the different kits they have, and some of them have just the coolant, and some of them have coolant and lubricant and stop leak. And I'm not sure if it's really necessary to buy all that other junk to put in there, or am I okay going with
buy everything,
coolant?
Man.
Where did you say you were from?
Raleigh, North Carolina.
Could you be using this for another few months?
Oh, yeah. It gets hot down here. The car is black, too. It's an old cop car. It's a P71.
Oh, great.
So
it's got 100,000 miles on it, but 900,000 hours of operation. Well, listen, I mean, you don't know what's wrong with your AC.
It's not blowing as cold. I've had the car for about 3 years, and it just gets progressively warmer and warmer. And I don't want to go to a shop and have somebody charge me for something I already know.
What do you already know?
The air conditioner's not blowing as...
I know, but you don't know why. I mean,
right.
You could have your compressor could be on the way out. I mean, you could have a low charge. You there are a lot of things you could have.
You're assuming it's low charge.
Yeah, I think so because it's progressively gone. So it wasn't like an abrupt thing. It didn't make any noises. The compressor didn't squeal or anything. It's just not blowing.
Yeah, so you can go the minimum route if you're going to think about long range for this car. Do you expect that you're going to have this car next summer?
Yes, I usually drive them till they drop.
Yeah, why not?
Well, no, there's no reason not to do that, but I'm just going to suggest that. How much does this kit cost?
It's like $20, and you can get just the Freon charge thing for like $12, and then there's this kit that has a can that has lubricant and stop leak in it.
Well, I mean, when you say this happened gradually, over what period of time?
Over the past 2 years. Last summer, it was blowing, pretty cold. But this summer, we've had some pretty hot weather, and it's a black car. So, it was taking a while to have to get on the highway before it started really
getting. I think your assumption that it's got a leak is valid.
And it's going to slow leak, obviously.
And it's a slow leak because it's lasted a couple of years.
So you ought to go the $20 route or the cheapest route. Just put a can of stuff in there.
No, no, I would throw in I would get the stuff with the anti-leak thing in.
Oh, the stop leak?
Yeah, why not?
I don't know what that stuff is, though.
Well, we don't know what it is.
Well, who cares?
What it does is, like every other sealant, is it attacks seals and O-rings and the like and swells them up. So if you have one that's loose, it makes it bigger and it stops the leak. But it's like it's the kind of thing you generally put in when it's a last resort kind of thing.
Okay.
That, you know, so if you're planning to keep the car, I think there's a possibility, although I'm sure the people who make the stuff will disagree, that you're going to damage stuff that wasn't already damaged. And
that's
for that reason,
fear.
I think I would probably avoid that, but just put in the refrigerant.
And then maybe next summer take it.
Yeah, well, I could start that way. I could go along with that.
Okay.
Just use the refrigerant now, see what happens, see how long it lasts. See if it lasts till next summer.
And then maybe next summer take it in and have them find.
No, next summer use the stop leak stuff with it.
Well, see, the reason I'm afraid of the stop leak is because, you know, they make that stuff, that anti-knock stuff. You put it in your engine and it quiets your valves down while you're selling the car, and then it, you know, gums up the engine for the next portion.
Yeah, we used to have that, too. We called it sawdust.
Yeah.
Here's my only concern. You know, back in the old days when we used a refrigerant known as R12
yep.
or Freon,
right.
we used to also recommend this same thing to people, and then we found out some years later, don't forget we've been on the air for like 109 years, that releasing this stuff into the atmosphere was harmful. And now,
yeah.
you know, it's illegal to do this.
Right.
And it's illegal also to release this stuff into the atmosphere, too. It must all be, you know, captured and reused.
Sure.
The problem is that if you have a leak, then you are unwittingly releasing it into the atmosphere, much like you would if you just opened the valve and just let the stuff out of the can.
And that's why I think he should get the stop leak and the 134A together. Because if it does have a small leak, you might, in fact, stop it. And if you're doing damage to things, well, it's only going to leak more. So next year you'll have it fixed.
Yeah. I'm just afraid the stop leak is this, like a temporary rubber band chewing gum kind of thing.
Absolutely.
It's going to screw up my compressor or something.
And well, it won't screw up your compressor.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. In fact, most of it probably doesn't even work. They put stop leak on the container just
it's
to make you feel good.
It's whipped cream they put in the...
Yeah, I mean...
Come on, just try it out, will you?
Try
it's another eight. I'll give you the
well,
$8.
I could have figured that out myself. Why am I calling you?
I don't
Why
know.
Are you? Just so you want to argue with somebody.
I would say go the cheap route and see if in fact it works.
I don't agree.
And if it well, because I don't think the stop leak is going to work. And one way or the other,
how are we going to know if it works unless Kurt tries it out?
I'll call you.
We got an opportunity here to experiment on somebody else's car.
If it works, I'll call you back. If
all right,
work,
go ahead.
I'll
and
say...
if it doesn't work, I'll give you $8. If that's what it costs.
I don't think we should begin offering money back to callers to whom we
give. I'm not going to pay him. I'm just telling
advice.
Him I'll
oh,
pay
okay.
him.
Good luck, Kurt.
Oh, you guys are great. I listen to you all the time. I love you. You're
Kurt,
great.
And I love you, too, and you're great.
Thank you for
See
your
See you
time.
Later.
Thanks for calling,
right,
and
no
don't call again.
Bye-bye.
No help at all. Goodbye.
That's our motto, no help at all. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Dawn, and I'm calling from Phoenix, Arizona.
All right, Dawn, look, before we get into it, we have to kind of clear the air with Kurt. I mean, Kurt wanted a yes or no answer. I mean, he
yeah.
didn't want a gray area kind of thing. He wanted one of us or both of us to say, this is the right path.
Yeah.
Right.
And we
He didn't want us to argue. We were just discussing this a few minutes ago, drinking coffee, and my brother says, you used to argue with me all the time. I never realized it. I never realized I had stopped.
And I never realized I shouldn't have brought it up. Anyway, Dawn from
and
Phoenix.
And I didn't intentionally do it. It just happened.
Oh, God. Okay, let's see how we do with Dawn. What's up?
Well, I drive a 2000 Chrysler 300M.
How do mm-hmm. you like that car?
I love it.
Yeah, I think it's a nice car.
Well, I think the problem has something to do with my brakes. Okay, when I come to usually an abrupt stop, there will be this, like, throaty gurr. And then I feel this grating feeling under my feet.
Oh, yeah.
It feels like I'm going over those, you know, those great things in the road?
I know.
Yeah.
Was it a real hot summer in Phoenix?
Yeah.
Duh. Have you had any rain lately?
Well, the last month we did, yeah.
She said, I'm gonna suggest that this happened maybe a couple of times when the road was a little wet.
No.
I didn't think so. I really didn't. I mean, I had to ask, you know, because we're required by law to ask these questions, but I didn't really think it was.
No, it's dry, but it had rained.
How slow are you going when you hear?
I'm going to disagree with you again. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, how slow were you going when you heard this?
It generally happens when I'm kind of coming fast to a stop.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, I'm pushing on the brakes hard.
But you're coming to what you would consider a normal stop, or is this closer to a panic kind of stop?
Well, no, it can be a normal to semi-panic.
Uh-huh.
Okay, but do you feel that you have to be inordinately considerate of how much force you apply to the brake pedal so it doesn't do this?
Yes.
All right, then you have a faulty anti-lock brake sensor. I believe.
That's what I think as well.
Yeah. So somehow or another, one of your sensors is off. And because it's off, it's sending a signal that's making the computer think that, in fact, that wheel is not turning at the same speed the others are turning. And the anti-lock brake system is now deploying to bring that wheel up to the same speed as the others so the car stops in a straight line. You with me?
Yeah.
So what you
need... So you got to take it back to the... shop.
Yeah, you got to take it to the dealer or whomever you go to and ask them to put the machine on. Now, I'm surprised that your ABS light hasn't come on, but sometimes it doesn't.
No.
Okay, but what they can do is they can do a check of each of the ABS sensors and find out, in fact, what the reading is on all the wheels. And if there's one wheel, you know, that's off and doesn't match up with the other three when you're driving the car, then that's the culprit.
So it's not actually my... brakes.
No, there's nothing wrong with your brakes per se, but there's something wrong with the anti-lock brake system, and it's probably one of the sensors.
Okay.
Good luck.
Thank you so much.
But you've got to fix it.
And you know, I want to let you know that I've been waiting for something wrong to go with my car for years.
So you could call us.
Yes.
We can arrange it next time. Just give us a call. Let us know what you'd like to break.
Okay.
See you, Dawn.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Hey, we could have people out in the world.
So wait a minute.
Sneaking around to different people and breaking things.
Sabotaging things. And making sure that they're the kinds of things that we know the answers to.
Exactly. And we would know exactly. As soon as we got the name and the Phoenix, Arizona thing.
We'd be homed in.
Fat city.
So you didn't argue with me about that answer?
I didn't. No. Okay. I agreed completely.
Oh, that's too bad for Dawn.
I thought I was going to argue because I didn't think you were going to the ABS system. I thought you were doing something else.
There. All right. We'll see. We'll give
but
you a chance.
When you switched over to ABS, I said, that's it.
Okay,
that's
well,
fine
we'll,
by me.
We'll talk to someone else and see how you do in the next call. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Peter from Palo Alto, California.
Hey, Peter, what's happening?
Well, my wife and I are having a little disagreement about the car.
Oh, that's too bad.
Now, I know you guys argue amongst yourselves, but we're trying to keep the peace here after our 20th anniversary. So.
Tommy's had a few of those.
What, 20th anniversaries?
Yeah.
I have, actually.
Yeah. So what's going on, Peter?
Well, our car is a Volvo XC90.
Okay.
And it has to do with the temperature of the interior of the car.
Mm.
And my wife thinks that when it's really hot on the inside, that the quickest way to cool down the car is to turn on the air conditioning and then set the thermostat all the way down to the lowest setting, which is like 60 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So my method is I turn on the air conditioning as well, but I set the thermostat at the level that I want, like, let's say, 70 degrees.
Mm-hmm. And your logic is?
Well, that the car will cool down just as quickly because it's still above 70 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
But just between us guys, I have to admit, with her method, I kind of feel like it cools down quicker, too, but I would admit that to her.
Well, let's say the car is parked in a sunny location. It's probably 130 degrees in the car when you get in.
Right.
Okay. And I don't think there's a whole lot of difference between setting it to 60 or 70. The air conditioner is going to be working full tilt boogie, as they say, to get it to 70 as well as it would be to get it to 60 or any other temperature between those two.
So there's no turbo mode.
There's no turbo mode. No, there's no turbo mode.
No, I mean,
so setting it to the lowest possible temperature does not make it get there faster.
But the big question is,
why does it feel like it's getting colder when she sets it to 60?
No, the big question is, whether I should tell her that she's wrong.
Oh, are you kidding?
So what's your advice there?
Oh, our advice is absolutely say, you know what, hon, we talked to them, and one thought it was, one agreed with me, and the other one thought you were right on the button. And, I've been reconsidering, and you're right on.
No, I think your wife should be able to accept the fact that she was wrong.
When you have these kinds of discussions or debates in your house, who is right most of the time?
Oh, I think she's right most of the time.
So do you feel a sense of joy here?
I'm in mortal fear.
I can tell he's terrorized here.
Peter, stand up. Be a man.
Well, you can just tell her that the air conditioner is not a proportional controller. It's an on-off controller.
Okay.
And it does the same thing as your heating system. Either the boiler's on or it's off.
Okay. Well, I'll go and tell her that. But I'll tell her you guys said that.
Her we said it and tell her that we hope that she's able to thank you for being so right all the time.
Oh, and I'm sure she'll understand.
See you, Peter.
Thanks.
Bye. Hey, look, it's break time. Time to give our listener a chance to get up and stretch.
Did you say listener?
What? Don't tell me we lost them.
No, we didn't. And when we come back, we'll have some mail about the sin of automotive pride.
And we'll take more of your car questions, so please stay tuned. We'll be back in a minute.
When his master says, ho, he gets in that truck, feels the wheels roll, hits the red or set and go. Truck, 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 truck driving dog.
And even though NPR's accountant moves Car Talk into the liability column whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like you're a parent and need a scared straight punishment for your kids.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and does pride cometh before the fall?
Here's a letter from a guy named Jim Wheeler. Hey, guys. One night at my girlfriend's house, I was raving about you guys and how I pride myself on being able to understand a lot of the diagnostics that you discuss. As my father was a mechanic his whole life, and I absorbed a lot of car knowledge. The next morning, we both got into our separate cars, and as she started her 15-year-old Honda, it made a horrible grinding sound. I tisk-tisked and got into the car I was driving, which was a brand-new Ford Taurus. To my surprise, the Taurus would not start at all. Bad karma, I thought. I tried several times, but the engine just wouldn't catch. I began the diagnosis. New car, starter is fine, alternator's okay, battery's new. I was just starting to call my uncle, who's also a mechanic and runs his own garage, hoping he'd come and give me a tow, when my girlfriend smugly asked if I had gas in the car. In my defense, the car was parked on quite a steep incline, but no, I did not in fact have any gas in the car. Needless to say, I did not tell my father about what had happened for fear of being kicked out of the family. We just took care of that, Jim, don't worry. Worse, my girlfriend now requires me to bow at the oil stain left by her car in the parking lot. At least my car has gas, she often reminds me. I currently ride a bike to get to work. Signed, Jim Wheeler.
See, you should never.
Don't ever be smug.
Don't ever be smug. That's or prideful.
Yeah. I'm never smug.
No. You got too many other issues.
I got nothing to be smug about.
Well, look, coming up in the third half of today's show is, you ready for this? Are you ready for this?
What?
A new puzzler.
Can it be? Be still my heart. Can you drop a little hint about what it'll be? Just a word or two, a nugget, a phrase perhaps, or how about like the answer?
Well, I will tell you, it is a. I think I promised earlier in the summer,
yeah,
that I would ease everyone back into the realm of the puzzler.
Oh, so you're gonna have something really stupid?
Not stupid, but it's kind of like a back to school puzzler.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Because people need to ramp up. I don't think I want to spring on them anything with a Fibonacci series or anything. That would be particularly unfair. We'll do that next week. But this week it'll be, you know, something for the school children and their parents who probably should go back to school. You know, they can't figure it out. Anyway, give us a call. Our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. And hello, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Lancelot from Burbank, California.
Lancelot?
Yes.
Lancelot.
Really?
Must we call you sir?
How's it
I've heard them all. Yeah, growing up as a kid, that name really stuck with you.
Gee, what were your parents thinking?
Maybe they weren't.
Did one of them teach English?
No. One's a fine artist and the other one's a real estate developer.
Does your last name at least go? I mean, you know, if you had a name like Lancelot Bacigalupo, I mean.
That ain't going to work.
That ain't going to work.
It's Smith, actually. That makes up for the dad.
That's
okay.
Oh, I see. They were thinking.
Yeah.
They said, "Who's ever going to remember this kid? He's going to go
like
through
Smith.
Life with a name like Smith. They're going to another Smith.
Billy Smith,
but Lancelot Smith.
Yeah,
good. And have you noticed that people do remember you?
Yeah.
I'll never forget you, Lancelot.
Actually, I work in the film industry, so it's not a bad thing.
There you go.
No, everyone has weird names in the film.
Yeah,
anyway,
yeah.
What's going on, man?
Well, I drive a 1995 Nissan Pathfinder, and I was out in the Nevada Salt Flats for a week. And when I came back, I washed off the car, and there's this mysterious alkali residue. And I just don't know how to get it off. I soap and watered it, and just I get these little...
What kind of residue?
It's like it's an alkali salt flat. I was at Burning Man this year, and I spent a week out there.
Oh, really?
So you have dust storms, and it gets into everything.
And what is it actually? Do you know chemically what it is?
I've just been told that it's an alkali of some sort, and it almost looks like dissolved salt or something.
Yeah, well, that's why they call it what? The salt flat.
Right, yeah. So I'm trying to figure out how to get it off the car, and also I wanted to wash the engine off. But I've been told that that's not a good thing because then you cause problems there.
Well, no, you can wash the engine off, but I think at this point you've got to find a neutralizing agent.
Right. Someone told me vinegar, but I mean...
Well, vinegar would do it because it's a nice mild acid.
Mm-hmm.
I would get out my little bottle of vinegar.
Uh-huh.
And try it.
White vinegar.
White vinegar. Oh,
yes.
Not the red. Okay, no.
Yeah, no.
Red.
Don't. No wine vinegar.
No,
and certainly no balsamic.
The cheapest vinegar you can buy.
Some mozzarella on there and some basil.
Yeah.
I'll have a salad on my
car. There you go.
And find the most inconspicuous part of the vehicle, and take a rag, soak it with vinegar, and just go wipe down a few spots. And my guess is they're going to come right off on the rag.
Mm-hmm.
I think so too.
So what about the engine? People were saying that if you washed off your engine, that you just cause a world of hate.
Well, if there are certain things which you should avoid, like the electronic ignition components and whatnot, and you know where the spark plug wires are. You have a 6-cylinder engine in this thing,
right?
And you have 6 spark plug wires which go into the engine, and they all converge at the distributor. Okay, I would avoid hitting that with the hose, but almost anything else.
The undercarriage as well?
Yeah, you know, as a matter of fact, if the vinegar works great, you can put that in a spray bottle.
Right.
And then just spray everything under there and then wash it off with the water.
Oh, yeah, that'll take half a year.
No! So more importantly, tell us about the Burning Man thing. What's that all about?
It's kind of like a Woodstock for art.
Yeah.
You build a city of 30,000 people end up showing up, and you build a city in the middle of the desert.
30,000 people show up?
And you have to bring your own water, your own food, and be self-sufficient, and everybody...
How about toilets?
Well, there were more this year, from what I heard.
There weren't 31,000 of them, though, were there?
Yeah, and there wasn't one within walking distance.
Right, no coffee served. 2 cups of coffee and a bran muffin, that's it. You wreak havoc on the whole place.
Now I know why people bring motorhomes.
Exactly. Yeah. So and so what do you do is you basically commune with other artists.
Yeah, and people bring their art and they put it out in the middle of the desert and some burn it as a representation of like the impermanence of art. It's a very, you know.
Sure, right. The fleeting nature of humankind and whatnot.
Half the people run around naked and do their own.
Which half? Because that can determine whether or not
half.
We go next year.
Well, I'm afraid I know what's happening. And I don't
and
think we're
nothing,
going.
There's nothing worse than seeing it.
We don't want to know.
Don't go there. We don't even want to hear about it. We'll have nightmares.
Well, look at Lancelot. I think you're going to have to try the vinegar unless you can find out something better. But you know what? We have a resident chemistry expert.
We certainly
on our step,
do.
A professor emeritus from Harvard University.
Who still teaches.
They're paying him under the table, I think. But anyway, he will let us know.
Has he been to Burning Man?
No, he has
no,
not.
No, but he'll know from the U.S. Geological Survey what salt is that.
He'll know exactly.
He'll be able to research that. He'll know exactly what salt it is and what will neutralize it.
And right. He's actually at Harvard University.
I'm a little far from Harvard.
That's all right.
That's all right.
It'll be on our website.
Oh, okay.
Or we'll have him call you directly.
Right.
Terrific.
See you, Lancelot.
Lancelot, I wish you the best. You've made my day.
You guys are great. My wife loves your show, and we appreciate you being here.
And we love your wife.
Bye-bye.
How often?
We're in trouble.
See you later.
See you later, Lancelot.
1-888-CAR-TALK. Speak for yourself, will you? That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is Carolee, and I'm calling you from Pensacola, Florida.
Carolee?
Yes.
C-A-R-A-L-E-E?
Oh, no.
K-A-R.
It's K-A-R-I-L-Y.
Carolee.
Yeah. Yeah, and my dad made it up, so I have to give him credit.
Yeah,
for that,
he made it up.
It's different. Yeah, he did.
How did he do that? It must be a combination of a couple of people's names.
Actually, here's the story. I was born. They didn't have a name for me. They decided to wait a couple days and think about it.
Yeah.
My dad went home from the hospital, made up the name on the way home because my mom's name is Karen and his is Jeffrey Lynn. So they just took parts of it, put it all together. There were people calling the hospital saying, "Hey, how's Carolee?" And my mom didn't even know it was my name.
Cool.
So it's a cool story.
Gee, I like it. I suppose it's nice to have a completely a name that no one else has.
It really is. It's really cool because, you know, and I get a lot of attention because everybody wants to know how to spell it.
Carolee,
yeah, spend
we
a lot
roll
of
along.
Exactly. And Sarah Lee and everything.
Sarah Lee, Carolee.
Oh, and nobody doesn't like Carolee. I like it.
Yeah.
So what's on your mind today?
That's the best one. Well, actually, you know, I have a car problem, but I kind of need a little bit of, I don't know, like premarital counseling.
Oh.
Yeah, that's why I'm calling you.
Sure.
This is my situation.
Yeah.
I am madly in love with a young man. We've been together for almost 2 years.
Oh, I love stuff like this.
Oh, this is
it's okay.
Great.
His name is Sam, and he's just perfect. Now,
is he madly in love with you?
Oh, even more than I'm in love with him.
Really?
It's wonderful.
That's
really
great.
It's perfect.
And how did you two find each other?
Well, I'm a college student, and he was dating
And he's a 50-year-old professor, right? No, I'm sorry. What is he?
Actually, no, he's a master's student here, and I'm an undergrad.
Oh, so he's just a few years older than you.
Yeah, but he was dating my roommate when I got here.
And you stole him away.
That's how we met, yeah.
Wow.
It's a good story.
And the roommate, do you and the roommate still speak? Or?
Actually, we do. It was really, really rough for about 2 months, but it's good now.
Yes, so. They communicate via death threats.
<It's fine.
laughs> Well, I mean, I'm kind of interested in how this happens. I mean, she's your roommate. He comes, one day he shows up, he knocks on the door to pick her up to go out on a date.
No, it was better than that.
Better?
It was better than that.
Give us all the sordid details.
Give it to us.
All right, well, when I met him, he was an undergrad. He was a junior.
Yeah.
And I was a brand new freshman here.
Yeah.
And they had just started to date and they were doing stuff and, you know, going different places. And he and I was a speech major and he was a speech minor. So we had one speech class together.
Oh. And you were speechless at this time.
Yeah. Well, not
so
yet.
So you knew each other.
Yeah. And
so you had already sort of checked him out?
No. Exactly the opposite.
Oh.
They had talked on the phone and I had seen a picture, but I just thought, yeah, you know, whatever, some guy.
Yeah.
So then one day, I'm on my way to the speech class, and my roommate stops me, and she says, "Hey, you know, could you give Sam this note?" So I'm, whatever, you know, whoever,
you
I don't
threw
care.
Threw the note away,
so,
right?
Well, yeah, so I bring in the note, and when I hand it to him, you know, I could care less, and he says, hey, is this from you? And I said, why would I write you? I don't have a reason. He said, maybe you shouldn't. I said, maybe you should give me a reason.
Oh, I love it.
Exactly, and then the next day we got into a long conversation, and ever since then,
that
he's
was
been
it.
Mine. So,
wow.
Exactly, but, I mean, he's perfect. So,
so
I
he had the hots for
him.
You already, but he didn't know how to really approach it, and this was his line,
well,
maybe you should give me a note.
That's how I feel.
Yeah,
that
so,
was good.
So you're both
that's
guilty. You're both going to burn in hell. but anyway, what problem are you having with your car?
Well, actually, I don't have a car. That's why I'm calling you.
Uh-huh. Ah.
This is my situation.
Well, why don't you go steal one like you got the boyfriend?
Sure, maybe your roommate has a car you can steal.
Yeah, you can take her car, too. What the hell?
Yeah, sure. I need to find roommates with nice cars. All right. He drives a Toyota Tercel.
Yeah.
But, you know, it'll be 2 years in November, and we're talking, you know, down the road. We've got a couple marriage plans, probably in a year, year and a half, maybe 2 years.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's fine for him to drive the Tercel, but when we're married, you know, later on, I just feel like I need a Volvo. Okay?
What's his major?
He graduated with a degree in youth ministries. He wants to be a youth pastor, but he's getting his master's in education.
Oh,
you're so, going to be driving no stinking Volvo.
No. Well, you might be. A 76
but
Volvo.
But see, he doesn't want one.
Oh, he doesn't want
one. No,
and why do you want something as swinging as a Volvo?
Why do I want it?
Yeah, I mean, I know they're sexy and racy and all that. I mean, you know, and they're irresistible.
See, but guys, the thing is, I don't even want one of the new ones. I really just want one of like the old 80s ones
one
where
those
they're all boxy.
The real boxy ones.
That's what I want.
The ones that say this side up on the roof.
Exactly. But, you know, it's not even really image for me that much. It's just, I want one, okay?
You do. Yeah. All right, well, you'll have it. It's yours, Carol.
Hey, you know.
Well, you'll have it, yeah. Well, and he doesn't want one.
Well, see, the thing is, I don't know if it's that he doesn't want one, but here's the thing. If we get a Volvo, I will be the primary driver. And that means that, naturally, because I'm an absolutely horrible driver, we'll need a lot of repairs done frequently on it.
Yeah.
Okay?
Sure. Yeah.
So he says that it would be a bad idea to get one because supposedly you have to order the parts from overseas or something. It's really expensive. And, you know, I don't know what to say to him because I don't know anything about cars. And I don't know, you know, hey, yeah, you can buy parts here. It'll be cheap.
Well, try this if you don't know what to say to him. Hun, you're nuts.
Well, it's true that Volvo parts are made overseas.
Yeah.
It is a foreign Swedish-made car.
They sell more cars here than they sell over there.
Well, see, that's what I thought. But
sure.
But,
no,
you know,
that's bogus.
But
I mean,
what if we do need repairs? He doesn't want one because he says it wouldn't be smart, and, you know, I'd have accidents all the time anyway.
Well, here's what you tell him. He's
what?
Got a Tercel,
okay.
Japanese, and you just tell him that Sweden is much closer than Japan.
Good idea.
So we'll get the parts in half the time.
Okay.
So whatever time it takes to get parts for his Tercel, it'll be half the time.
Yeah, and moreover, if you are accident-prone, what's better to drive than a Volvo?
They're built like tanks.
Exactly. Yeah.
And besides, he must have figured out by now that whatever you want, you're going to get.
Well, that's the way it is.
It's as simple as that.
That's the way it is.
I don't even know if he cares about the time. I think it's just like he says the parts would be expensive to order.
They are expensive. Volvo parts are more expensive than they are for Tercel, certainly.
Yeah.
Okay.
But don't worry about it.
Well, that's how I feel.
Yeah, and tell him if it doesn't shape up, you're going to give him back to your old roommate.
Then I know I'll get a Volvo.
He's pining away,
sure. Right. And you're going to find another roommate with a Volvo.
See you, Carolee.
All right, thanks for your help.
Good luck, and thank you for calling.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, folks, it's finally here. Well, almost anyway. Right after a short break, we'll have the moment you've been eagerly awaiting all summer.
The day-old sale at Colleen's Clam Counter?
No, the brand-new puzzler, you fool.
Whoopee!
So get a pencil, everybody, and we'll be back with the new puzzler and, of course, more of your calls in just a minute.
Don't go anywhere.
Here comes this truck. Is driving out.
All I need is
my
mind. Ending.
But this truck has a mind. So short that I can't reach the brake.
Yeah,
this truck is driving out.
of my mind. But this truck has a mind while it's on.
And even though antiquities dealers pelt their radios with Ming vases whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Collect, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
Did you say new Puzzler?
Yes, I did indeed. The time has come to bogusify the show once again. Anyway, here goes, and this is from my Learning Your Numbers series.
Ah.
Yes, and the inspiration for this Puzzler came from a fellow named Jim Francis.
Oh.
And here goes. You ready? Pay attention and have a pencil at the ready.
I have it. I got a pen.
Well, that's good enough. Yeah, that's good enough. When my kids were in school, they, like all the other kids, I guess, had to learn their numbers. So each day for homework, they would bring home a list of numbers on a piece of paper, and they were asked to write out the letters that spelled that number right next to each of them. You know, so the number 7 would be there. There'd be a blank space, and the kids would have to write SEVEN,
yeah.
81, EIG. You got it, right?
Got it.
And of course, they were also asked which numbers were spelled out by the various combinations of letters. So they'd see SIXTY and write 60, yeah, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. One day, son number 2 presented me with a list of numbers, which I'm going to read to you in a minute. And he said, these numbers are different. Okay? There's something special about them. Now I'm going to read the list.
Yeah.
Okay? And when I read the list, you're going to say, huh? But here are the numbers.
Yeah.
4, 6, 12, 30, 33, 36, 40, 45, 50, 54. Getting writer's cramp yet? 56. I see you're running out of room. 56, 60, 70, 81, 88, 90, and 100.
Huh?
Okay, and I will tell you that there are no other numbers between 1 and 100 inclusive that share this same characteristic. There's something unusual about these numbers that son number 2 figured out.
Ooh.
Okay.
Wow.
And I will give you an additional hint that order does not matter. Okay,
huh.
So these are in no particular order. They could have been in any order. But of course, the best hint is that he determined that these numbers should be on the list, perhaps from his homework assignment.
Oh.
Okay, now if you think you know the answer, inscribe it on the jaws of a woodchuck and company. Ooh, I'm going to like this. 1/16 scale wooden model of a Caterpillar 5230B excavator with moving tracks and cylinders and pivoting cab. Are you kidding? And send it in termite-free packaging, of course, to Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
Now, if you have a question for us now, give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Ellen from Mountain Lakes, New Jersey.
Hi, Ellen from Mountain Lake, New
Mountain
Jersey.
Mountain Lakes.
Uh-huh.
Mountain Lakes is a kind of upscale community, is it not?
Yes, but I live on the wrong side of the track.
The wrong side of the track.
Well, we'll see if we can help you out that, little lady.
That's good. The wrong side is better.
So what's cooking?
Well, you know, if I was on the right side of the tracks, I'd be calling you about the new Audi I purchased for my 16-year-old who got his learner's permit. But instead, I'm calling you about the 1990 Honda Accord that I purchased for him.
A 16-year-old boy?
16-year-old boy, yes.
Okay.
So my daughter, who is home from college, took it on as her car for the summer. And she took it out, the second time, something like that. And she came out of her job, went to start the car, and it would not start.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
she turned the key and nothing happened?
No, turned the key and it did everything short of starting the engine.
Oh.
We wound up having to have the car towed, to our mechanic, mm-hmm. who took a look at it the next day, tried to get it not to start, of course.
Right.
And he did successfully get the car not to start.
Good.
Yeah. So that was that made me very optimistic. And
but when it was towed to him,
mm-hmm.
did it start as soon as
no,
it got there?
No, it didn't. Actually, I'm abbreviating the story. It was actually towed to a different mechanic first, and then after a while it started, and then I finally got it to my mechanic.
Got it.
Okay.
Got it. We're with you, Alan.
All right.
And you don't know how the first mechanic got it to start?
He didn't. It just decided to start after about an hour.
It decided to.
You know cars can think like that.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
So he went in, couldn't find anything wrong directly, so he did something that he called bleeding the fuel system.
Mm.
What this is, I don't know. Mm. But for
I'm working on it myself.
Okay. I said, gee, did you take all the gas out of the tank? He said, no. That's not what it is. At any rate, the next few days it started like a champ in all circumstances, which was really good. But the next hot day that it was left out...
I was just going to ask you
if it was a hot day.
It was a hot day.
It all fits together.
Yep.
With what? What does it fit together with? Does it fit together with
all the different theories that you're working
on? Oh, yeah. Oh, it fits together, Alan. Don't worry. I'm pulling all the strings together now.
Yeah.
Good.
So it worked fine for a while.
Uh-huh.
And now it doesn't. Otherwise, why would you be calling us?
Exactly. And you know, it's not happening as frequently as it did before.
No, because it's been raining every day for the past month and a half.
you've been in the area.
It's been a great summer, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has been a very
interesting summer. Don't get me started.
Don't get my brother started. His 2 weeks of vacation at the shore, so to speak, had 12 out of 14 days of rain. And
I slept those two days.
Not only rain, but the temperatures plummeted.
This is true.
And he called me one morning from his beachside
retreat.
That's the word. And he said it was 47 degrees at my house this morning, and I can't tell you what else he said. Not on the air.
Tucked up under the dashboard mm-hmm. in this car, mm-hmm. and all Hondas that of recent vintage, mm-hmm. is something called the fuel pump relay.
Uh-huh.
And in hot weather, these relays fail.
Okay.
And everything fits together. The fact that they couldn't figure, I don't know what this bleeding of the fuel system was. It may go back to ancient Egyptian times when they bored holes in people's heads to let the brain worms out.
It's like the leeches.
I'll do some research and call you back.
But in fact, what he discovered was that there was no fuel pump pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no fuel pump pressure because the relay was not energizing the electric fuel pump,
uh-huh.
which is inside the tank. And what he needs to do, or someone needs to do, is buy a new relay and plug it in. It's as simple as that. The relay costs about $30 or $40. I don't know what it costs, but it's relatively cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to solve the problem.
Okay. I'm really glad to hear this.
Isn't it good? Isn't it wonderful?
Problem. Yes. Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's it. Bye.
Thank you very much.
Hey, have a wonderful time in Mountain Lakes.
Oh, thank you very much.
See you, Alan.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey. How's it going?
Hey. Good. Hey. Who's this?
This is Leaf from Chester Springs, Pennsylvania.
Leaf, like an Erickson?
Yeah, except for my last name's Gustafson.
Oh,
Chester Springs, are you an Amish person?
No, I'm
you calling
on
your cell phone?
And I teach at a Quaker school, so I guess I'm kind of in the ballpark.
Oh, that's close. What do you teach, Leaf?
Language arts, 7th and 8th grade language arts.
Is that differentiated from language by the fact that you don't actually teach a language, you just teach the art of language?
Well, the theory being that, you know, there are various skills in the traditional subject of English, you know, the listening, the speaking, the reading, the, you know, so
uh-huh.
if you incorporate all that into an art, you know, then you can cover all the bases rather than just focusing on the
vocabulary
rather than focus on actually learning anything.
Exactly.
Right. That's, I, that was the,
I thought if I couched it in enough terms,
that was the thrust of my question, actually, and I guess that you answered it.
I've had some experience with schools like that, where they're more interested in all the touchy-feely abstract stuff than actually teaching anything. That's okay.
Right, like mathematics, arts.
Am I supposed to be insulted here?
Or? No.
You could take it that way.
Are you putting down the fact that I'm a huge warm fuzzy?
No, not at all. What's on your mind today, Leif?
Well, I really need some advice. I mean, there's a small problem, but I need some advice. I have a ritual that I have formed through the years with my Civic hatchback. And what I do is I thoroughly clean the car inside and out before I take it in for service.
Ah.
Now, my thinking is that if I thoroughly clean the car, when I take it in for service, they're going to look at the car and think, wow, this guy really cares about this thing.
Yep.
We'll pay extra special attention.
Yeah.
You know? Well, I just took the car in for the 90,000-mile tune-up.
Uh-huh.
And I'm looking at what they did and the price of everything, and I just don't think my ritual's working. So I'm actually thinking of trashing the ritual. I mean, I'm not talking, you know, I didn't just vacuum over the mats.
You armor-rolled and everything.
I would take the mats out.
You did.
Why are you saying that the ritual isn't working? Because they charge the heck out of you?
Okay, well, I think this might be where, they did charge the heck out of me. But here's where the small problem might come in.
Yeah.
Whenever I come to a stop, this is from probably, I might have had the car for about a year, and then this started to happen. Sometimes it almost stalls. In fact, it comes to the point where the engine light illuminates slightly.
Yeah.
And then it kicks back into idle.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm thinking, oh, wow, you know, well, this ritual is going to take care of the problem because they're going to, during, you know, regular tune-ups and everything, they're going to, of course, find this because I take such good care of my car.
Oh.
And they will fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I see. Well, it's still happening.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. That's why you think it backfired. Just to address your primary concern, I think that people whose cars are all cleaned up and shiny and look like they've been taken care of by the owner are treated better by the technician who works on the car.
So really?
And contrary to what you might think, the bill is not going to be lower. It's going to be higher because he's going to pay special attention and spend extra time in the car knowing that you are someone who wants his car taken care of.
Right.
You're an anal retentive, and he's going to make sure that you are pleased.
It is an automatic catch-22.
It's an automatic catch-22 in that, but on the other side of the coin, you are getting what you hope and I would expect to be better service and better care for your car, but you're paying extra for it.
Okay.
Yeah, but see, the other problem, the other mistake you're making, a mistake that you're making, is expecting the mechanic to find things without your explaining them to him.
Of course.
I mean, that's a very, very big mistake.
We can't even find the problems when they do explain the stuff to us.
Yeah, I mean, you can't expect the guy to notice this peculiar little problem. First of all, if he even notices it, he doesn't know that it happens to you day after day. He says, it happened once, who cares, forget about it. You've got to be very, very explicit. We are not dealing with intuitive people here.
We are not
dealing with people who can make great leaps of logic. We're dealing with people to whom you must be very, very explicit and clear.
Well, and to defend technicians, because I am one.
You say thicknicians?
Not thicknicians. You don't fix nothing that the customer didn't complain about.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because you get yourself in trouble doing that. So if it isn't on the repair order,
forget it.
You might call it to the customer's attention, but you just don't go ahead and fix it because the customer has a right to complain. You say, well, I noticed your rear view mirror had fallen off and I glued it back on. I didn't want you to do that. I was going to do that on Saturday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you married, Leif?
Yes, I am.
Well, I suggest to you, having had much experience in marital disputes, I suggest to you that you don't use this same philosophy with your wife. She ought to be noticing this. She ought to know that she blah, 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 whatever it is. She ain't going to notice it. Not because she's stupid, but you got to learn to communicate better.
Wow.
You're going to open up, man. You need a language arts course. You're not using the language correctly.
Yeah, I mean, like, well, for a guy who teaches language arts, you've been quite laconic about all of this.
Well, actually, now you would have only learned that word had you actually been in a language arts class. Yeah.
Well, you have to mend your ways before it's too late, Leaf. You have to turn over a new leaf.
I was waiting for you guys to do that, yeah. But you know, if I didn't have this small problem, then I would have never been able to talk to you.
Well, we're glad for you that you called, because I think we've straightened you out, man.
It's going to change your life, man.
Yeah, and it didn't cost me a thing. Well, maybe it did.
Maybe it did.
Looking down at that last bill, but
what I like best, though, is the way you came onto the show by saying, "Hey," that made my day. Yo. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot.
Good luck.
See you, Leaf.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our interns are Ariel Niedermeyer and Michaela Ross. And our technical spiritual and menu advisors, just back from the Tampa St. Pete Luncheon Meat, Shredded Wheat, Pommes Frites, Duck Confit, Cookie Sheet, Sugar Beet, Aquavit, and 10% DEET. All you can eat is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Butt Tugley. Our director of guaranteed repeat business is Lucinda Bolts. Our dessert menu planner is Eaton Flanagan. Our defense attorney is Gil T. Azell. Our staff ornithologist from the McMurdo office is Marsha the Penguins. Tom's personal dating preparation coach is Edna Bagg. Our DNA researcher is Gene Hackman. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the Patriot jersey-wearing Red Sox fans in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And remember this, don't drive like Tommy.
And don't drive like Ramey.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1138, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, how to know when to pull over immediately.
Other than when you spill hot coffee on your lap, that is.
Yeah, besides that.
My brother and I often get asked, how do I know when it's a real mechanical emergency, when I need to pull over right away rather than just have it looked at when I get a chance?
Fire is a good indicator.
Yeah, no, but not all indicators are quite so obvious. That's why you should check out our list of the top 10 signs that you should pull over right away. You can find them all this week at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Icarus turns and heads for the sun again, whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.